Well, we're going to begin in prayer. Just two hymns tonight, all right? So our first one will be right after prayer, number 108, My Father Planned It All. Again, appreciate Mike Goble, Mike Parent, those that fill in when Shane is gone, which is often because of his ministry. Now, remember, the Coal Miners, they'll be gone now from about mid-June, probably even through mid-September, all right? So at least around 4 months, so they'll be headed out west, all right? So that's coming up pretty quick. And so we certainly are thrilled to have them here when they're here, but we know we're going to miss them for 4 months, so certainly there'll be different people stepping up to the plate to help fill in the different voids that they'll be when they'll be gone. All right, let's go ahead and stand for prayer tonight, and we'll stay standing for that opening hymn, a hymn that we know pretty well, but still one that we can sing. And again, if you're here tonight, weren't here this morning, happy Mother's Day to you. If you're a mother, hope you had a wonderful day, relaxing, celebrating, enjoying all that you did. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you. What a beautiful day you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for each one that's here tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to lift up our voice in song, to open the Word of God, to fellowship, to encourage one another in the Lord. I trust that any of our mothers here, Lord, those that may be watching by way of live stream, have had a wonderful day, a special day. Lord, I pray that if we do know of a mother, maybe we have a neighbor that's a widow lady, maybe an older lady who's by herself, Lord, but is a mother, that we reach out, if not tonight, Lord, perhaps this week, knowing that sometimes that can be lonely. And Lord, it may give us an opportunity to share the gospel, be an encouragement if they know not the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for each one of our mothers. Thank you for each one of our grandmothers. Thank you again for all that are here tonight. Lord, I pray tonight's service to be a blessing and encouragement. In Jesus' name, amen. Stay standing as Mike comes.
All right, number 108, that's that Mother's Day classic, My Father Planned It All.
What though the way be lonely and dark the shadows fall, I know where'er he leadeth, my Father planned it all. I sing through the shade and the sunshine, I'll trust him whatever befall. I sing for I cannot be silent, my Father planned it all. There may be sunshine tomorrow, shadows may break and flee. 'Twill be the way he chooses, the Father's plan for me. I sing through the shade and the sunshine, I'll trust him whatever befall. I sing for I cannot be silent, my Father planned it all. He guides my faltering footsteps along the weary way, for well he knows the pathway will lead to endless day. I sing for a shade and the sunshine, I'll trust him whatever befall. I sing for I cannot be silent, my Father planned it all. A day of light and gladness, on which no shade will fall. 'Tis this at last awaits me, my Father planned it all. I sing through the shade and the sunshine, I'll trust him whatever befall. I sing for I cannot be silent, my Father planned it all.
that hymnal and turn to 560, just over in the Glory Land. 560, I get you to stand for this one as well. That'd be fantastic.
I've a home prepared where the saints abide, just over in the Glory Land. And I long to be by my Savior's side, just over in the Glory Land. Just over in the Glory Land, I'll joy the happy angel band. Just over in the Glory Land, just over in the Glory Land, there with the mighty host I'll stand. Just over in the Glory Land, I am on my way to those mansions fair. Just over in the Glory Land, there to sing God's praise and His glory share. Just over in the Glory Land, just over in the Glory Land, I'll join the happy angel band. Just over in the Glory Land, just over in the Glory Land, there with the holy host I'll stand. Just over in the Glory Land. What a joyful thought that my Lord I'll see, just over in the Glory Land. And a kindred saved there forever be, just over in the Glory Land. Just over in the Glory Land, I'll join the happy angel band. Just over in the Glory Land, just over in the Glory Land, there with the mighty host I'll stand. Just over in the Glory Land, with the blood washed strong I will shout and sing. Just over in the Glory Land, glad hosannas to Christ the Lord and King. Just over in the Glory Land, just over in the Glory Land, there with the happy angel band. Just over in the Glory Land, just over in the Glory Land, there with the mighty host I'll stand. Just over in the Glory Land.
Good singing. You may be seated.
Take me, I would give my heart to Thee. Thy devoted servant, make me only.
Thank you, ladies. Some of my favorite ladies right there, all right? All right, and as they slip out, I'll invite you to open your Bibles there, the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 29. Genesis chapter 29. Let you find that, not too difficult to get to that here in the Bible. I do want to say a big thank you. I want to appreciate my mom. Thank the Lord for my mom, Kathy Fisher. That was her maiden name, Kathy Fisher. And got saved at 12 by going to camp. She was very shy, very bashful, and got saved at Mount Gretna Bible Camp, which is still in existence, not far from where we sort of lived and grew up there. And that changed her life. And then later on, what changed her life is mom really began to grow by going to a ladies' Bible study. We were Methodists, all right? And dad didn't even come to that church that much. But mom really began to grow. And mom's the one probably that got us out of that church and got us into a good Bible preaching fundamental church that had a Christian school. Mom's a lot of her influence would be getting us into the Christian school, and that changed the whole direction of my life, and I've mentioned that before. So I appreciate my mom. She's 80 and in good health, Lord willing. Glad that she's able to be up here. I'm thankful for my mother-in-law. Many of you pray for Miss Jean Tessinier down in Shelby, maybe watching. I don't know. I know they watch often, but thankful for her. I think about the courses of our life, that who knew that I was a young man in Pennsylvania. We have a young lady in North Carolina. Thankful that she had godly parents raising her and good church they got into, Christian education, and lo and behold, there the Lord brought us together our sophomore year at Bible College. And I thank the Lord for my wife, great wife, great mother, been with me the whole way through the ministry, youth pastor's wife, and big blessing. So I appreciate both of my mom, my mother-in-law, and my wife here on this Mother's Day, and trust they've had a wonderful day in the Lord. Let me just mention two or three things I failed to mention before we get in the Word of God. Don't forget, please, it's coming up very, very quickly, and we have a church picnic, our Memorial Day picnic on Monday, May 26th, and since we're going to be gone almost a week, that'll be creeping up here pretty quick. And there's several of you who have not been with us before. You've maybe been coming to the church since that. We'd love to invite you. This year, we just have two picnics rather than three just because of the schedule, so love to have you come to the Memorial Day. Most of our picnics usually are late afternoon, so 3 o'clock, and there's no time that you have to arrive, all right? So you can come as don't come earlier than 3, all right? But I'm just kidding. But usually they're like 3 to 8, 3 to dark. You can come for 1 hour and leave. That's okay. There's no obligation to stay for the entire time. Some folks have other obligations. There's family. You may have something going on. But this year, Memorial Day picnic and a Labor Day picnic. So we'd love to have you out there as a church family. Lord willing, we'll have a pretty day and just have a great time as a church family at our home. We'll say more about that. And then please don't forget, very important, security safety seminar training coming up pretty quickly. That's on Saturday, May 31st. I will try to get more information about that when I get back. As far as specifics, that probably will start, though, I'm guessing around 9 a.m. based on the last time I talked to Ian. And so he's a Christian and has a military background, been in the security type thing, his business, and helps churches and Christian schools. So I'm excited to have him come. So I know it's going to be a learning experience, all right? And so all are certainly welcome to come to that. I remember when I talked to him, I said, well, now how long does it go? And he said, I don't have any ending time. He said, I just come. I come and I leave when the last question's done. I have no, so I really don't know, all right? So I suppose if it goes for several hours, we'll just call in some pizza or whatever and just be ready to go, have some drinks. So I don't really know how long it goes, but 9 to 12, very hands-on. He'll have paperwork, handouts, question and answer. We'll walk, anybody that comes, walk around the building, outside the building. He'll ask questions, give us some different things that could happen. So it's very hands-on. And again, anyone 16 or older is welcome to come to that. Again, I don't know that you have to stay the whole time, but we'd love to have you come, especially if you're one of those that works regularly with security safety or has a desire to. All right, we would love to have more men, especially. We have just a core group of 4 or 5 men and women that do that, but oftentimes they're out there a lot, and we appreciate that. But we have a big enough church that we ought to easily be able to get a rotation of guys and stuff out there that you only need to be there once a month, all right, if we're faithful and consistent. So love to have you come to that seminar if you're able to. We won't be live streaming or anything like that, so we'll probably video it, I suppose, if it's in here. We haven't really worked out all the logistics about that, but we'll get you more information, Lord willing, when I get back and hone in on the timing on that. Maybe have a sign-up list. That would be important as well, okay? If you have any questions about that, you can always see me, text me, email me, let me know, and I'll do my best to answer those questions. Genesis 29, where we're at tonight. Genesis chapter 29, and we'll get into chapter 30 here tonight. Today's Mother's Day. We'll be looking at some mothers, but we won't just hone in on the mothers that we're about to see. But we're actually going to be introduced to 4 different mothers, all right? Although the Bible doesn't give us a lot of commentary on them, we will be talking a little bit about that here on this Mother's Day. So we're continuing on this Sunday night our series of a Bible character, Jacob. Jacob, the path to brokenness. An interesting Bible character that the Bible gives a lot of information about. You may have been familiar with his life before. You may not have. And I trust that God's been using this in your life as he has in mine. We're going to pick it up in chapter 29, verse 28. So the setting is he has just recently been tricked and deceived by his father-in-law. He has worked 7 years basically for free, meaning he wasn't getting wages, but his wages were going to be at the end of 7 years to be able to marry Rachel, Laban's youngest daughter, who the Bible says he loves. And he agreed to work basically for 7 years, no doubt living with Laban and the family and doing whatever needed around the family plantation farm. You'll see there's lots of animals here coming up, cattle, whatever there is. So he works and he says it's time to be married, fulfill the contract, the obligation. We looked at that last week as we spent some time looking at the biblical institution of marriage. And boy, they have the feast, they have all that goes through. And lo and behold, it says that Laban deceives him by takes Leah and brings her to him. Again, in that culture there, even today, a lot of those cultures, you can think of that part of the world, even with a lot of the Muslim Persian part of the world, very heavily veiled, a lot different than what we might do over here. And lo and behold, the next morning, it's Leah, not Rachel. And he's very angry. He confronts his father-in-law. Basically, he says, what's going on? Basically, you see that there in verse 25. What is this thou hast done unto me? Did not I serve with thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me? You've tricked me. You've deceived me. Now, I find it fascinating. We didn't really look at this last week, but just a brief mention about this with marriage. Maybe someone would say, well, why didn't he try to divorce her? Why didn't he just say that I didn't agree to that, so therefore it's void? Interesting. It was legal. They went through everything that makes a marriage legal. He asked the hand. Yes, he was deceived. They must have had a ceremony. There probably was some form of a contract or covenant made. There were witnesses. And even though he was duped and could have said, hey, I didn't agree to that. He tricked me. That's null and void. Interesting enough, none of that was done. Which tells me then that was a binding covenant made, even though there was deception in it. That you never see anywhere where he says, that wasn't true. She's not my wife. I disagree with that. It's not legal. That you tricked me. It doesn't count. She's his wife. All right, and what does he say? No, that's not fair. All right, and Laban just said, oh, relax, calm down, fulfill the weekly honeymoon, and then you'll get Rachel, because that's how we do things here. All right, and oh, yeah, by the way, just 7 more years, by the way. 7 more years you're going to work for her as well, but you can have her hand. All right, and the Bible says, and we'll pick it up right here, all right, verse 29. And Laban gave to Rachel, I'm sorry, yeah, basically verse 28, and Jacob did so and fulfilled her week, and he, Laban, gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife also. And Laban gave to Rachel, his daughter, Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid. And he went in unto her, unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. Okay, so on both occasions, which must have been the custom, or at least he might have been wealthier father-in-law, he gives almost a maid, a handmaid, along with his daughter, as a gift, as a helper, as a maid around the home. Whether that was custom or culture, I don't know. The Bible clearly tells us, verse 30, that Jacob loved Rachel more than Leah. Now let's find out what Leah thinks about this marriage. And we read this last week, verse 31. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, so the Lord states that Leah is hated. When the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, now notice her wording, surely the Lord, now that's Jehovah hath looked upon my affliction. So not only does the Bible say that she was hated, she says it's not just, I'm daily afflicted. This is tough, this is rough. The Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. Verse 33, she conceived again and bare a son and said, because the Lord, Jehovah, hath heard that I was hated. She states it, I was hated, I'm hated. He hath therefore given me this son also, and she called his name Simeon. Now I find it interesting, again, there's no mistakes in the Bible. It doesn't say that Jacob named the sons. Just says that Leah did. Leah names him. Leah's doing everything. Jacob's very disinterested. Verse 34, she conceived again and bare a son and said, Now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him 3 sons. Therefore was his name called Levi. And she conceived again and bare a son. And she said, now will I praise the Lord. I will praise Jehovah. Therefore she called his name Judah. And left bearing. So that's where we're at here. So we have Jacob. He has 2 wives. He never says that Leah's not his wife. His 2 wives. One he clearly loves, at least the word in the Bible, love. And one that he hates. He never wanted her, never showed any affection to her, never had any interest in her. He was completely tricked and duped by his father-in-law. But he's bound. She's his wife. And she bears, every 9 months, once a year, we're not told, 4 sons. Which usually just 1 son is a great honor. 4 sons. Surely my husband will show me some love, a true love. Notice, not just pure sexual love, but true love, a love, and be joined to me, and we'll have that husband-wife bond. But you see none of that from Jacob. He doesn't seem to have any interest at all. And he clearly loves the younger sister. Now let's continue reading chapter number 30. And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister, said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. So you can imagine that. What's the home like? You've got 2 wives. We're not sure what the dwelling place was like. 2 handmaids. The sisters sort of back and forth. Now the one sister has 4 sons. The other doesn't have any. She's barren because God's made her barren. And she's angry and she's envious. And maybe there's some back and forth between the sisters and looks and comments and snide remarks. Rachel says, look, give me children, I'm going to die. Jacob gets angry, verse 2. Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, am I in God's stead, who hath withheld from thee the fruit of the womb? She said, behold my maid Bilhah, go in unto her. She shall bear upon my knees, that I may also have children by her. So we've seen this before with Abraham and Sarah. Probably culturally, at least the culture would say this was perfectly fine. Remember Sarah said, go into Hagar, that's what everybody does around here, it's not a problem, I can't bear children, so she'll bear in my stead, but basically there'll be my child. So go, Hagar, do this, I have children. And so You don't have any, Jacob doesn't say anything. Doesn't have any comment. The Bible says that she gave him, verse 4, Bilhah, her handmaid, to wife, and Jacob went in unto her, and Bilhah conceived, bare Jacob a son. And Rachel said, God hath judged me, and hath also heard my voice, and hath given me a son. Therefore called she his name Dan. And Bilhah, Rachel's maid, conceived again, and bare Jacob a second son. And Rachel said, with great wrestlings have I wrestled with my sister, and I have prevailed. And she called his name Naphtali. Now you may wonder, why is this in the Bible? It's a little bit unusual. Why would God put this in here? Sister, oldest sister. Interesting. Jacob, Esau, older, younger, right? Remember that back and forth? Now we have two sisters. One, both are married. One was duped. One was more of a pawn. And one was the one that Jacob loved. Sister one, older, has four sons. Sister two has none. She says, well, you just take my maid and she'll be in my place and they'll sort of be my sons. That's the way it works around here. And Jacob goes, and now there's two more sons. So we have six sons. You say, okay, what's going on here? It's very interesting. Verse 9, when Leah saw that she had left bearing, she took Zilpah, her maid, gave her Jacob to wife. Okay, fine. Here, my sister's getting close to me. Here, you take, do the same thing as culturally accepted to do this. Take her. And that's what happens. Verse 10, and Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a son. Leah said, a troop cometh, and she called his name Gad. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a second son. And Leah said, happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed. And she called his name Asher. Like, what is, so what's going on here? A lot of kids already. Wow. All right. I wonder what the home life's like. Let's continue looking at that. All right. Go to verse 17. And God hearkened unto Leah, and she conceived and bare Jacob the fifth son. And Leah said, God hath given me my hire, because I have given my maiden to my husband. And she called his name Issachar. And Leah conceived again and bare Jacob the sixth son. And Leah said, God hath endued me with a good dowry. Now will my husband dwell with me. Interesting. Now will my husband dwell with me, because I have borne him six sons. And she called his name Zebulun. And afterwards she bare a daughter and called her name Dinah. Keeping up with the numbers? You got them in order? We're not done yet. Verse 22. And God remembered Rachel. And God hearkened to her and opened her womb. And she conceived and bare a son and said, God hath taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph. And said, the Lord shall add to me another son. All right. There you go. There's your devotion tonight with your children. Like, what are, how are we going to apply this scripture? So what's going on here, all right? Let's take a look. Now, maybe you grew up singing children's songs. How many have ever sung, Father Abraham had many sons? Not, usually not a teacher's favorite song, because the kids get really whipped up, all right? Maybe after this chapter, it's Father Jacob had many sons. Jacob had a lot of sons. All right, Jacob here has a large family, and we know, if you want to jump ahead a chapter or two, that he says to Laban, we're leaving, I've served you 20 years. So we know that for 20 years, there's a time span of 20 years that Jacob serves Laban, and in those 20 years, all the children are born except one. So we have 12 children, if you've been keeping track. We have a dozen. We've got Leah with seven, six sons, and the only daughter. We've got Rachel right now with one, the youngest, a little boy named Joseph, which you'll know well. We've got each handmaid with two. So we have a family of one dad, one husband, Jacob. We've got two legitimate wives who are sisters. We've got two handmaids that are called wives, but more culturally accepted as sort of considered that, but not necessarily legally by covenant. Wow. Now today, our modern word we've made up is dysfunctional. That would be a dysfunctional family. What would that be like? I mean, it's obvious that father does not love in any way. In fact, it says he hates Leah. He hates her. He shows her. I mean, there's not one. He doesn't even speak to her. Does he even care about the boys? Does he blame Leah? I mean, Leah didn't have anything to do with it. Laban did. He loves and has his heart affection for Rachel, but she hadn't bore children at all till the end here, and she's been angry, and there's fighting and bickering, and then the handmaids are not really given much information on them. And you got all these boys, and you're like, what is going on here? It's a large family. Now here's the question. You think it was a happy home? You think it was happy? You think there was joy? You think there was good unity? You think there was, would you call this a godly home in any way? You say, whoa, I don't think so. One father, four mothers, one family unit. What is going on here? Surely this is not what God would want. Absolutely not. We might even call this, in a way, a broken home. Now, I know today we'll say a broken home might be a home where a parent has left or abandoned or divorced. And we say, that's a broken home. But this is a broken home. And this is a broken home because we have a man who refused to be broken. We have an unbroken man who brought along a broken home. Now, I want to ask you a question. Seriously, I mean this really honestly. If Jacob came to you for counsel, just bear with me in the illustration. I know, I'm a lady, I wouldn't talk to him. All right, just... If he came and said, I need help, my home's a mess, what would you tell him? What counsel would you give Jacob? Where would you start? What Bible? Now again, they didn't have the scripture, so we gotta be careful about. Well, you should have known Proverbs, you know, about your children. And well, okay, they didn't have that, but where would you start? How do we help this man? How do we help this family? How do we take this family that's just whoa? I mean, no one really loves anybody here. Well, what are we gonna do? How are you gonna help this man? I want us to review here for just a few moments. I want us to see Jacob. Let's go back to even before he was born. He's in his mother's womb with his twin brother. And the Lord reveals to Rebecca that there are two nations or two ways of living, two cultures, two philosophies that are very contrary one to another that are going to be represented by Jacob and Esau. Esau is going to represent the flesh. You do what you want. You please yourself. You live for yourself, lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Esau's your man. And then you're going to have Jacob, a very unusual man that doesn't look like he's going to turn out. And he's going to represent a man that does love God, although it's very hard to see. A man that's going to represent God and God's ways and the right way and the messianic line of Christ. And that God in his sovereignty, already knowing because of his knowledge which direction these boys are going to choose, the direction they're going to go, therefore is going to bless Jacob and his line because he's going to love God and obey God, though you're like, I don't really see that too much. So even then, and so that was known to the parents. He's the younger, the elder is going to serve the younger. The younger is going to be superior and stronger. God's blessing will be on him, and he will really prosper because of that over his brother. Now, what would you have told Jacob? As he's like, you know what, I don't think I'm ever going to get the birthright and the blessing. What if he had a chance to talk to him? Hey, I think I'm going to have to dupe away to get my brother. I'm going to have to trick my dad. What would you have said as a strong Christian? I hope you would say something like, no, Jacob, now look, you need to wait on the Lord. You need to wait on the Lord. You need to trust God. I know it don't make sense right now. It doesn't look like it's going to happen, but God did say that, didn't he? You need to trust the word of God. You need to wait on the Lord. You need to believe God. You need to just get your hands out of it because you're going to mess everything up, Jacob. Trust God. I would think you would say something like that to Jacob. But Jacob, he didn't do that, did he? No, I'm not doing that. I'm going to get it. That's a proud man. That's a person that said, no, I'm going to do it my way. And he gets the birthright, and he, with his mother's help, tricks dad and everything that was already promised. And then we come ahead to Genesis chapter 28 when Jacob leaves to go find a wife and God comes in the vision of the ladders and God clearly reveals him and says, look, I'm God Almighty. I will be with you. I will bless you. My hand will be upon you. This land will be your seed and your ancestors forever. I will bless your seed. He's not married yet. I will bless your seed and your ancestors from here and all families of earth will be blessed through you. Now what would you do as you see him begin to fall in love? with Rachel. What do you think about Rachel, by the way? Not Rachel Kramer. Be quiet back there if you're talking about Rachel. But what about Rachel in the Bible? So I remember teaching this several times. I've taught Genesis several times in high school Bible. And we go through this here. Any of the girls in the class whose names are like Rebecca and Rachel, sort of like, huh. You know, they're not as good as we thought they were. Because sometimes the character of the person, you know, well, no, it doesn't mean you're that way. But that those names are good. But sometimes you really study the Bible, and you're like, whoa, I don't know about that person. I mean, there's not really any great character qualities about this Rachel or even Rebecca at the beginning there was. All right? So we're not here to try to change any names or anything like that. But the fact of the matter is, who should Jacob have married? Never do you see him pray or ask God. Never do you see him any way. You say, well, he loved her. Did he love her? What does love mean? What did he mean? All right. Even if he was tricked, and he came to you and said, man, this whole thing's wrong. My father-in-law just completely, what are you going to tell him? What are you going to tell him to do? Jacob, you need to wait on God. Jacob, you need to believe God. Jacob, I know this looks like you were, but Jacob, look, God knows what he's doing. I don't understand the whole thing here. I'm marrying the sister. Jacob, I don't think, God doesn't want you to have two wives. No, it doesn't. Look, I didn't pick her. What are you going to tell to Jacob? What are you going to say to him? Well, go ahead then, Jacob. Do that. It'll all work out. Jacob, you know that God works even among wicked decisions? Even among sinful choices, God's bigger than that? Jacob, did you ever even pray about, does God want you to marry Rachel? Did you ever ask God and consult him? Maybe Leah was the one all, you know, I don't know all of that, but I know this. It wasn't God's will that he just have multiple wives. You know what, Jacob, you don't see a man here who's walking with God. You see him, in fact, you don't see him doing anything except just having children. Giving into his flesh, perhaps, and living by his flesh. Doesn't show any affection for Leah. None of the boys, it says he does anything with them. They probably know as they grew up that Dad doesn't want you guys. He never picked your mother. You don't ever see him do one thing with his boys. Now, you don't think that affects your family? The handmaid's boys, what were they like? We know in Genesis 37 it says they were wicked because Jacob told his father of his brother's evil deeds, and it said it were the two handmaid's sons. Okay, what is going on in this home here? Jacob, be content. Trust God. I know, but I was tricked. You don't think God can work through that? I know, but wait on God. No. He's a proud man. He's a stubborn man. He's plowing straight ahead. His whole family's already messed up. This man will not yield to God. He will not allow himself to be broken. His stubborn will is refusing to even admit any sin, any wrongdoing. I jumped ahead on God. God, I'm so sorry. I never even asked you. I don't know. I let my affections. I saw a beautiful, well-favored girl, and I love her. Well, does that mean she's godly? Does that mean she's going to be a wonderful wife? Does that mean that's what God wants? You know, a lot of people marry that way and then live to regret that. Jacob made it very clear to his wives and his children that he only loved and cared really for himself. Even though it says he repeatedly loves Rachel, but not anybody else. You know what you're going to see? You're going to see that creep up each chapter. He's going to do something that's very wicked. He's going to find out, it's coming quick, that his brother Esau is coming to meet him. Ooh. And it says he's very scared. Because the last time he saw his brother swore he'd kill him. And someone came and said, hey, your brother's on, and he's got 400 men with him. And the Bible says, and Jacob's not, he's no young kid. He's scared to death. And you know what he does? It says he separates his family and puts them in four groups. He puts the handmaids and their boys first, Leah and the boys next, and as far back as possible is Rachel and Joseph. So that if Esau starts killing people, guess who's getting killed first? Not the ones he cares about. How'd you like to have been part of that group? When you look around, you're like, what's going on here? Why are we up front here? Well, you know what? Esau, he could start killing people. Well, Dad put us up here? Yeah, because he only cares about these in the back. That way, if he can run with, how'd you like to be part of that group? How'd you like to wonder if Dad even loves me? Well, who would do that? And then later on, right, he has a favorite son, Joseph, he gives that special coat to. And the brothers hate him because they know the dad plays favorites. Like, wow, that's going to continue for a long time. Even though in the end we know how God works it out. Now the question here as we wrap it up is, what type of mothers were these four ladies? Was Leah godly? You know, I don't know. There's a glimmer of that with how she named the children. We know Dad Laban wasn't much of a guy. We're not really told much about Leah. You hardly ever see any interaction between her and Jacob ever, even in the days ahead. And she dies, and we're never told in the Bible when she dies. I don't know about Leah. I would trust that maybe she was a good mother. Rachel? Never says anything. The two handmaids? Nah, we don't know. We know what the boys were like. We can read about that in upcoming chapters. All right. There's going to be immorality. There's going to be murder. There's going to be prostitute. I mean, there's going to be some... Now, that doesn't mean that all the parents were poor parents, but there's going to be some long effects of Jacob's stubbornness and pride, never humbling himself before the Lord. I don't know what kind of mothers they were, but I do know this. I want to finish with this. I do know what the Bible says, what we ought to do with any kind of mother or parent. And I know some of you are different stages of life. Young people here have parents that are still over them, or you're in the home. Others of you may be young parents. Others of you may not be a parent. You may still have parents living, yet you're your own, maybe your own family unit. But yet, the Bible is pretty clear, though. Even if we have lost, unsaved parents, even if we have lousy parents, even if we have disobedient parents, even if we have rebellious parents, even if we have lazy parents, the Bible makes it clear how any of us are to treat our parents, Mother's Day, Father's Day, however it is, regardless of the situation of, well, if my mom was this way, or my dad was this way, or if I even, they abandoned me, or my stepdad, what does the Bible say clearly? Exodus 20, one of the Ten Commandments. The fifth command, honor thy father and thy mother. That's it. Not if you like them, if you agree with them, if they're saved, if they're nice to you, if you think they were good. Honor thy father and thy mother. That may be well with thee. Ephesians 6 repeats that in the New Testament. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Colossians 3 repeats that. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Wow. Proverbs 1:8, and in fact, it's our sign out here, and I appreciate Sydney and Safina helping put that up. If you notice spelling problems, talk to those girls, all right? Now, they handled it pretty good. They did that on the work day out there, but if you look at the sign there, it says basically, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. The Bible says that several times in the book of Proverbs. Forsake not the law. That doesn't mean mom was always right. Mom was even saved, but forsake not the law. The Bible makes it clear what God's standard is for our parents. Whether we agree or disagree or think they were good, godly, or wicked, or in the home, out of the home, Proverbs says much about the home and the family life. In fact, Proverbs 23:22, interesting, it says, despise not thy mother when she is old. Isn't that interesting? I mean, that's God. He says, don't despise your mother when she's old. Why would God tell us that? Because it's probably prone to despise our mothers when they're old. Mom's always fretting and worrying. Would she just back off? Despise not thy mother when she is old. Forsake not the law of thy mother. Honor thy father and thy mother. Wow. What is God? He must put a high priority on that. Now, there's three things as we finish. You've heard this. I've shared it many times with young people. Three responsibilities with our parents. And I realize it is a little different when we start our own home and family, leave and cleave. We start a new family unit. It's a little bit different then at that point, although they're still your parents. And I do believe honoring them still applies. All right. There are three things the Bible makes it clear for, especially young people and those in the home still. You're to honor your parents, you're to obey your parents, and you're to love your parents. And we better know the difference in the three. You can obey your parents and not honor them. They give you, and you do exactly what they told you to do, but everybody knows they're not honoring you. And they're not honoring you in their spirit and their attitude, although they might say, I did exactly what you told me to do. But there's a difference. in honoring, obeying, at least when we were parenting, and this is not new with us, three things we tried to require of our kids, and we were not always consistent. You're going to obey right away. There's no counting. There's no warnings. If you count, they don't obey right away. You're teaching disobedience. You're going to obey right away. You're going to do it exactly what you were asked to do, right actions, and you're going to do it with the right spirit. Now, that doesn't mean that it always works. And mom, dad, we were inconsistent. And inconsistencies helps disobedience. But that was the three. Hey, look, turn off TV, come to the table. I mean, it's right away. And obey right away, it's not obedience. And then it's got to be exactly what they... I turned it off, well, where are you at? Well, I went to my... We told you to come to the table. And then, okay, I turned it off and I came to the table. You go to your, what did I do? I didn't say nothing. Yeah. Because actions speak just as loud as words, right? We communicate a lot of different ways. What'd you say? We can have flashbacks when we were kids, young people. We know how all that works. Young people, and we were to obey your parents. Do you obey your parents? You right away, right spirit, and what they're asking for. All right. Number two, you're to honor your parents. You can obey without honoring. Honor is to highly value, to esteem. It goes along with obedience, but it's a little different. You're to honor them. When you get to be a teen, you know what your parents like and dislike. You better, or you're not wise. And so if your parents ask you to do something, you know what they mean, even though they don't always tell you. That's honoring, when you do what you know they want. I'm honoring Dad because I know that this really... I know when Dad comes home from work, Dad doesn't like this. Well, then don't do it. I know Mom, this really is not... She can't stand when we do this. She's talked to us repeatedly. Then don't do it. I know that Mom, Dad... So when you know what they want and makes them... Then do it. That's honoring your parents. All right, taking the initiative, that's part of obeying. And then third is, of course, love your parents. That sounds easy. That's more than just, I love you, Mom, card, Mother's Day, here's a cookie I made. No, those can be part of it. But to love our parents, and that may be harder for some of us as our parents get older, and we may look at them as always nagging us or back off of us. Love our parents, that's in word, that's in deed, that's in action, that's in attitude. That's to love them as Christ loves us. That's not always easy. God wants us to obey and honor and love our parents, and certainly as they get older in different phases, that can be a challenge. But we're never to stop honoring them. We may not always agree. We may not always have to do what they want us to do if we're a new family unit. But we're to certainly even honor them and show respect, as God says in the Word of God. Well, our time is up. The last thing we'll look at is a verse. This will prime us for 2 weeks from tonight. After all these kids are born, we have one father, four mothers, 12 children, one younger son yet to be born down the road. Jacob said, it's time to get out of here. The Bible reads, and I'll finish with this verse, Genesis 30:25. And it came to pass, when Rachel had borne Joseph, that Jacob said unto Laban, send me away, that I may go unto my own place and to my own country. Give me my wives and my children from whom I have served thee, and let me go. For thou knowest my service, which I have done to thee. Interesting. Jacob says, I'm ready to get out of here. I'll go back home. I'm ready to get out of here. Now, he's not going to get out there as quick as he thinks. All right? There's still going to be a lot of problems, and Uncle Laban's not done yet. So we're going to see where that takes us here. So, hey, you got parents still living? They may not even know the Lord. They may not have raised you as you thought were proper. Still to honor them. Love them. Influence them for the Lord. They're not saved. I hope you pray for them every day. Do all that you can. If you have a parent still living or parents still living, you may not have a great relationship. God can resolve that. Just be sure you're not carrying the spirit of Jacob. No. Not me. Let them make the first move. Not up to me. Nope. Nope. Not going to go well. God resists the proud. He gives grace unto the humble. Let's stand and conclude in prayer tonight. Again, mothers, happy Mother's Day. Enjoy the sunshine even as you go out here tonight. The sun is still out, getting into summertime here soon in a month or so. Hope you have a great evening. Don't forget, there is a pastor's fellowship tomorrow. If you can't come, pray for that. And looking forward to ministering and serving the men by providing the meal. And then pray for our family. We'll be headed out Tuesday afternoon. and headed up to Massachusetts and then New Hampshire where the retreat is, and then back here, Lord willing, next Monday. So again, if there's any emergency, things that need dealt with, so check out our deacons, have a church directory there, and I know they'll be able to handle things. Okay, Father, thank you for your word. Lord, on this Mother's Day, we might have a mother living that's not saved, or we don't know they're saved. We may have a mother or father living that is just, doesn't match up with the Bible, Lord. Lord, we know that we ultimately can't change them, but Lord, we can pray for them, we can love them, we can honor them. Lord, we can humble ourselves. God may use that very fact of humbling ourselves before them to use that to work in their heart, Lord. We might have a parent or parents who are still living, and that, Lord, did their very best to raise their children, raise their family for Christ. And Lord, we thank you for that. I pray we would honor our parents as the Bible commands, no matter what age they are, to honor our parents. Lord, because that's one of your commands. You've decreed that. And there's a promise with that, that thou mayest live long upon the earth. Lord, I pray that we would honor you by honoring your commands to us. And Lord, may none of us carry with us a hard heart, a stubborn will. May, Lord, we be tenderhearted and broken in every area to submit to you. Lord, have your way, I pray, with us. Now, Lord, give us a wonderful week as we walk with you, I pray. And we love and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you. Have a great evening.